Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
What a great day to be alive. You realize that? Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you, Lord, that you're letting us breathe and you've got our hearts beating and we are disease-free. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done on the inside. I just think as we are receiving communion and all that he has done for us so that we could have what we have in him. And we want to take advantage of everything in a good way that he's given to us, to receive it by faith. Just thinking, even as we were receiving communion, that we receive the things of Jesus by faith. We just say, it's mine. Thank you. I'll take it. I receive it. I walk in, whether it's peace, whether it's healing, whether it's joy, salvation. We receive everything by faith. It's such a wonderful thing. And that he's freed us. I'm also thankful for this time we get to live in, even though it's not easy. We live in some difficult days. The Bible talked about that. The difficult times would come, primarily because of selfishness. It says in 2 Timothy, and there's a lot of that out there, that's for sure, but we are also, God chose us in some ways as the best wine for last, I believe, is you, for these moments in this time so that we can shine and be like him and reveal what heaven is really like. That's part of what we get to do here. We get to be representatives of the King. All right, for those who have been coming here for a while, you'll know that I rarely talk a lot about political things. I don't, but today I'm going to. That's the plan, and I warned you last week as well about that. And really, man, I have a heart for you, for us, for our nation, for the kingdom, and you know, even though we are going to have so many opinions and vary so much in some beliefs. We want to have the same common ones related to the faith, related to the person of Jesus. There are some other things that we're going to vary in different beliefs, but I want to let everybody know, if you differ from what I am sharing today in your beliefs, I want to let you know I love you. And that's okay. And as a church, it's the same way. I love diversity. I really do. When I was working for the government, it was difficult for some of my bosses because I would dive into relationships with people from different cultures and I would spend more time with them than with my Americans friends and coworkers. Because I love different cultures. I love diversity. That is, I wish we were more diverse here, actually. It's really one of my heart's desires is that we would be fully, I'd love to have every nation represented here. It would be amazing. But God loves diversity and even diverse opinions. I've learned so much from people who are not like me and who don't believe the same way that I believe too. It's helped me in some ways. And so I want everybody to know here that just because I'm gonna share some of my personal opinions today, as well as what I believe are scriptural ones, and I know perfectly well that not everyone's going to agree with me, and that's okay. We need to be able to disagree with one another, right? But still accept one another, love one another, not be mean toward one another if we don't agree with everything. And then one of the reasons I am going to talk some about politics a little bit today is because, you know, it's what's on everybody's mind, for one. Everyone's talking about it all the time. And so to avoid talking about this at all in this place where I'm standing is a little bit odd, I think, as well. And I know that we have different opinions on that. Okay, yes. And I will ask that you don't throw things at or shout at me while I'm talking today. We do have so many different ideas on that. And over time, I've had people that have wanted me to talk about politics more often here. I've had other people say, stay in your own lane and do not mention politics at all. You're only to lead spiritually. So I hear both sides of that. I disagree with both sides. I think there is a commonness. If I'm going to be real, I'm going to talk about authentic things that are going, it's also things that are going on in my life and things that I'm deciding on as well. But we're not going to do that all the time. I'm going to talk about it every once in a while, and typically it's about every 4 years. Talk about some of these things. Okay. Just give you an idea of how we are so, you know, the Lord, it says in the Bible in Ephesians 4 that he gives leaders of the body of Christ to equip them for the work of the ministry, to equip you for the work of ministry, not to tell you what to do, but equip you to do wonderful things. And till we all come to a unity of faith, till we have a unity of faith. And unity, boy, that's not an easy thing, whether it's in a marriage or a church or anything. A nation, we're having real trouble with it, right? But it's what God has in his heart, is that we who are his own would have a unity of faith in him primarily, but we would also, it's okay to have different opinions. I'll give you a snapshot into a bit of my week, not this week, but a previous week. I remember in the same week, I had someone come up to me and said, just with such a sincere heart, so wish that there was more representation of women sharing from up here. A couple days later, someone else came in and said, I'm leaving your church because you allowed a woman to speak. Same week. Those kind of things happen within a body, right? Because we've got all these different ideas and interpretations on different things in the scriptures. Sometimes, and I think a lot of times we mess up because of the context that we pull something from that doesn't have the full surrounding context. Like it says in the Psalms that the sum of your word is truth, that we need to take it all and then derive our opinions. But anyway, I'm not going to talk about that too much today, although we're just going to talk about lots of stuff. But we need to not only love diversity and be okay with people with different opinions, ideas, beliefs, backgrounds. Everyone is welcome here. I want you to know that. And I have some of my really close friends believe completely polar opposite to me in what I'm going to talk about today. And I'm staying friends with them. And I'm going to love them and learn from them. And, you know, if hate is driving us in any way towards someone, we are the one that's wrong. Do you realize that? Hello? We should not be driven by hatred. The only one we're supposed to hate is the enemy, actually, right? There's only one there. And then everyone else, we're to love every single person. I also feel that, as I have understood and come to know truth, that it's my responsibility to share truth. And some things to me are just so very clear. And so some of that I'll also want to mention as well. Of course, the main things that we mentioned are salvation on the person of Jesus, all of those things. And also, I'd like to kind of, for all of us, you know, and I say these kind of things often because I care about you and I don't want us to major on minor things. Or I'd like to say this is, I would encourage you to not die on a hill of something that's not essential. There are sometimes people, they have something they just love, a certain thing, whether it's a pet doctrine or it's a philosophy of something. And if people don't agree with that thing, that's the hill that they choose to die on. And I would discourage you from doing that. Don't make one thing that hill you're going to die on unless it's the person of Jesus, right? That one is the one, if it's the gospel and Jesus, that's the one to fight for to the death in that. But if it's some other issue, we don't want to throw away everything else because of one thing that is so important to me. We don't want to do that. I've watched that with Christians throughout my life. I've seen that over and over and over. They will take one thing, it's kind of swallowing, right, the gnat, because of this, because of this one issue that is so important to me and give up a whole lot of other things. So we don't want to do that. Though I have had many people, they're going to get really mad at me. Some are probably going to get mad at me today. I've had people walk out during service. Look, one going right now. There you go. Oh, Kevin. No, he's just that's going to happen. I get hateful emails sometimes and all those kind of things. It's okay. We just have to, you know, say and do what I feel like is really what is heavenly, what I believe is the right things from heaven and what the scripture teaches. There's always going to be those kind of things. But please don't fight and battle for your life on a hill that is an opinion, if that makes sense. One of those can be, I mentioned socialism last week, gave one example, was an extreme example about Germany. There are many others. I lived in Venezuela for over a month in the 90s when it was a democracy. As I lived there, the most beautiful people, beautiful nation, and then I've watched it since then, not just because of adopting socialism, though I'd say that was a big part, but really bad leaders as well, and watch that nation absolutely have a downward spiral to accepting socialism and then changing their constitution and then banning guns and then saying higher education is for free for everybody and then putting dissenters in prison. And now you got 94% of their nation lives in poverty. 94%. That's happened in a very short amount of time. And I just watched it. And I was there. I know the people, some of them. And it's heartbreaking as I've watched what some things have done that I think are extremely harmful, which is why I said last week, I have a concern about that for our nation. Because of the devastation I've seen, not necessarily for San Bernardino, pretty close anyway. But I'm not going to die on the mountain of socialism or non-socialism. You know, that's I'm not going to die for on being a capitalist. That's not what I'm going to die there. There's certain things I'm going to really fight for. I'm going to have concerns about others. But we need to be civil toward one another. When I was growing up at a Christian home, my parents, at least my dad, I remember, was a Democrat. And our neighbors who we went to church with were Republicans. And my dad, as a joke and kind of in fun, bought a Jimmy Carter bumper sticker and stuck it on my neighbor's car at night. My neighbors then retaliated with Ronald Reagan bumper stickers and plastered our car with those. And it was all like you're doing right now. We were laughing. Nowadays, things are so cruel and mean-spirited and full of hatred, something's really wrong. Something is really wrong with that, right? And so we need to actually have that civility, that love for one another, and recognizing that, man, it is okay if you don't believe the exact way that I do or you're of a different party. We were going to the same church in that case growing up. I really look forward to Jesus being king one day here. Won't that be great? You'll have the policies and the personality, and every part would just be just right. He's going to deal with all corruption instantly. Man, that's going to be something. It's going to be fair justice across the board. Those things are it's going to happen. But that's not where we are right now. We've got a mixture and a lot of crazy and weird things going on right now in our country. And I got to say right off the bat, I do not like politics. I never have. I used to live in Washington, D.C. as well and liked it about as much as I do now. Then I have worked for the government. I've been working under Democratic and Republican presidents that I've served under. And just to let you know that I'm going to share some personally today, I am personally unaffiliated. For 33 years, I've been an unaffiliated. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I want to let you know that right now. So it's not that I am just for one party. I'm not. I never have been. I've been in the middle there and wanted to go with whatever I believe was the best at that moment at all levels. And you know what we're talking about today too in our country is not just the president, but also all members of the House and the Senate, as well as the Supreme Court, that is super important. All of those representatives are important for our nation. The only nation that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, pretty amazing to me, in all of the world, that God would, in the beginning, help us get founded in a way with things that have become a model for so many other nations in the world, and it came because of the Bible. Came because of people looking for religious freedom. I've also appreciated and been able to, I feel, could appreciate and love things about different presidents along the way that I've disagreed with or that I didn't vote for. And I prayed for them. And that is what the scriptures tell us to do. You realize that, right? Pray for those who are leading in government positions over you. All leaders, including me, were to be praying for them. Doesn't matter what party affiliation, we need to be praying for them, praying for the best for them. I would say the Lord probably spoke to me, though I did not vote for President Obama, the Lord probably spoke to me on his behalf or for him and to pray for him more than any other president since I've been alive. He would give me dreams over and over and over again with him. I was with him a lot in my dreams. Never met him personally. But it caused me to pray for him, have a heart for him, and to intercede on his behalf, which I've done more than any other president while he was in office for those 8 years. And I believe that is part of what we are to be since our primary citizenship is as a kingdom citizen. Right? Your primary citizenship is as a kingdom person, affiliated fully with heaven. Right? And then from there, then we are led by the Spirit. We vote to the best that we can that lines up biblically. And we have a heart for whoever is over us. And we see that throughout the scriptures as well. Particularly one of my heroes would be Daniel, who led the way in that heart and had that attitude. But today I'd like to talk some about some issues. I'd like to talk about people. And also want to talk about voting. There are so many issues that are at play in any election. This one is no different. I think crucial issues. Here are just a handful: support of Israel, Supreme Court nominations, the earth, the economy, foreign diplomacy, national debt, commander-in-chief, who that is, and how they would lead with our military, borders, healthcare, sexuality. You got law and order, justice, socialism type of issues. Protecting lives, including human trafficking, religious freedom. They're just a handful of the issues, right, that are at play right now as we talk about these things and as we are thinking through them. So here, I want to come from a standpoint of a biblical thinking and thought and looking at the scriptures related to many of these, because I feel like that is important. That's part of our job to do that. When it comes to support for Israel, Psalm 122, verse 6 says, those who stand with Israel stand with God. How about that? So there's not much, even though, again, they are like any other nation, they're not perfectly pure, whole. They don't make all the right decisions. They've done some things that aren't right, all of that. But that's different to just, you don't just throw them away because they've done some things wrong. In fact, there's what we call the Bible is full of the history of God's dealings with his people, Israel, and oftentimes it was judgment and really rough, right? So God doesn't turn a blind eye to the sins or the mistakes or the problems of a nation. He's going to deal with it, but for us, we're to pray for them and support them. Isn't that amazing how that works, right? Even God, who used sometimes people to judge them, would then judge them for judging them after they did that. The Lord deals with nations. He deals with leaders. Supreme Court, what we want, of course, you want constitutionalists appointed that aren't biased or bitter, right? Here's one of the issues that doesn't get talked about, I don't think, particularly in Republican side of circles, is the earth. You know, here's a scripture, Revelation 11:8. He who destroys the earth, I will destroy, God says. Hello. One of the first things he gave us when he put us on the planet was to cultivate the earth, to take care of it. So I think there are some issues there for both sides as people that we need to be thinking of, that God created, this is creation. How are we treating his creation? And I think there are good ways to deal with some of that, and there are also bad ways to deal with that, ways that aren't really helpful, but there some are that really need to be talked about. In particular, I think of the deforestation that takes place and that you can really reuse, replant in ways that aren't happening, particularly in Brazil. It's the Amazon's getting wiped out. It changes the climate, all of those things. There's a lot in there that's not addressed a lot, and I think it's important. The economy, of course, there's a lot related to the economy. It's important, I think, that the pro-business, that their job creation, all those things. Foreign diplomacy, that's an important element. The national debt, which I just mentioned, neither candidate is talking about this much. In fact, I can't think of, if you've heard it, I haven't heard that discussion, but that is, to me, a huge concern. It's also a biblical issue. The last time that our debt, where we had a balanced budget and actually a surplus, was under, do you remember which president? Clinton. President Clinton was the one who balanced the budget and actually had a surplus at that time. That's the last time that's happened. We are now tumbling in massive ways with a mountain of debt that is really going to be difficult to recover from. And in fact, some economists are saying that we have about until 2024 until a financial collapse. I don't know. I'm not an economist. I don't understand all those things fully. What I do know is that this has to be addressed, and neither party is really addressing this. We need to address it. When I think of my children and their children, we need to have some fiscal responsibility with their commander-in-chief, of course, utilizing our military force toward war, borders, having our borders protected. It just always seems so straightforward to me that you want really good avenues for people to immigrate here. I would say, unless you are Native American, everybody in here in their family has immigrants that came from somewhere else to be here. So thankful. I'm so thankful that my great-grandparents and grandparents came here where they were able to enter. But we need security for that. I mean, I also have locks on my doors in my house. I don't leave all my doors open. I don't want every single person who wants a home to live in just to come on in, right? There's a process that you go through, and the same for a country. I could go in the weeds on all of these issues, by the way. I'm going to try and just hit them lightly, but I think that's one essential issue. Healthcare, sexuality, those things, all these things are really important. I think there are actually some weightier issues that they're important, like every one of these I just mentioned are important, but I think there are also some issues that are, I think, even may have more weight. And that's because I think it has to do with the role of government. One of them is law and order. I think one of the primary roles for government is to have strong law and order. If you don't have that, though, they need to be just at the same time, not mistreat people. So there probably needs to be some reform in some of those things. But if you don't have that, you have chaos and anarchy. And I've also been in nations where that's taken place. And that's not good. We don't want that. Justice as a concept, as a principle, and as something that is made and given for every group and person in our society. That is also, to me, another primary role of government, that there's justice for all. Not moving toward Marxism, socialism, in my opinion on that. I think that's important. As well as protecting lives of people from babies. We just dedicated these babies all the way through to the oldest among us, the veterans and the elderly as well. I think it's so important to protect their lives. And one of those elements within that is human trafficking, putting a stop to that stuff, modern day slavery, dealing with that. And then, of course, abortion. To me, these are weighty issues when you talk about protecting a person's life. And I think it's crucial. One of the parties, when you just look at their platform, it's a party that opposes strongly infanticide, has support for born alive abortion survivors, for the unborn babies, that they would not be aborted from 20 weeks on. And then I'm reading from, honestly, the Republican platform right now, word for word. They want to abandon abortion based on sex or disability, abandon dismemberment abortion, in which unborn babies are literally torn apart, limb from limb, which, if you haven't seen the Unplanned movie, by the way, you should. It's a great movie. Some of the acting it's not perfect, but the premise is amazing. This is just a real story. It's a story of a Planned Parenthood director and her journey. Encourage you to watch that. I don't always tell you to watch a movie. That's a great one to watch. Torn limb from limb, abortion clinic safety regulations, a ban on human cloning, creating or experimenting upon human embryos, including three-parent embryos, a ban on any sale of body parts, a ban on use of public funds to perform or promote abortion to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. The other party, this is their platform, every woman should have access to reproductive health services, including safe and legal abortions. To me, too, I mean, how can you say safe when you're murdering someone? It doesn't make any sense. Will oppose and fight to overturn federal and state laws that create barriers to reproductive health and rights. Religious freedom is another area that I think is important for every believer to look at. Right now, you can see in nations in the world, many nations in the world, where religious freedom has been stripped or it's only for one religion. And the other religions, I mean, India would be one of those right now that where believers are being persecuted like crazy. Nigeria, there are several countries. There's a long list of that. We would be in the minority of the freedoms that we have here for religious freedom. And even some of the policies now that are trying to encroach, I would say, into this realm of religious freedom are dangerous. I think that's a huge issue. With the Equality Act that the Democratic Party is trying to pass, it would hinder religious liberty protections and even force churches to violate tenets of their faith. There's some dangers in religious liberty related to the Democratic platform. On the Republican side, it's the opposite, trying to protect and make sure that there's religious liberty for all people. When you come to the candidates themselves, you know, when I look at Vice President Biden, there are a lot of lists of great things that we could list for for both of these candidates. Their strengths, also their flaws. President Biden, I've watched him lie many times. Plagiarism, embracing many things contrary to scripture, I would say, would be to me the largest flaws, or deception. I think anybody thinks it's okay to rip arms and legs off of a baby in the womb is deceived. There's just no doubt about that. It doesn't matter. Now, we all are deceived to some degree in the world, especially if you don't know Jesus. But that one, to me, is a pretty large one, to be deceived in that way. For President Trump, you know, his personal immorality, I don't know about presently, but in the past, is a problem. Bragging about himself constantly, narcissistic for sure, saying stupid stuff, hurtful things to people, things he said about John McCain, should have never said, horrible. Not backing up on that, he doesn't tend to apologize. He has some serious flaws in his personality and the ways that he does things. Vice President Biden has similar flaws, different than what President Trump has, but he's got his own set of flaws. So you see flaws in both of these guys. And I can't defend either of them on side of morality. I can't defend their behavior in many ways. What I think we don't want to do, and as I've talked to several Christians who love God and are having a real struggle choosing to vote right now, is because they see the church that oftentimes, when I say the church, I'm talking about the larger evangelical church in America, who is maybe like so Trump on one side that they overlook all the flaws and never even mention that they exist. And they feel like that's hypocrisy. And I understand that. I think it's important to say, man, President Trump should have never said that. That was wrong. Should have never treated someone that way. That was wrong. Should have never tweeted that. Please throw your phone in the Potomac. I've thought that many times. Honestly, I cringe personally when he tweets and when he goes off script when he's giving a speech. I cringe. When he reads the script, it's beautiful. And so many great things that he has said and done. But what we don't want to do, I think, is be the kind of people that are so biased. You can see this in so many different areas of life. But we can become so biased that we completely ignore any of the fault or flaw or call them out on a certain issue and just accept the entire thing all the way. On both sides do this. And then they demonize the other person. They demonize the other side. That is not how kingdom people should be. We should be able to say, no, that was wrong. That was said wrong. That is done wrong here in this situation, regardless of party affiliation. But to not put that in the light or call them on that, I think, is disingenuous, for one. And it's not how we're supposed to be. So I want to be the kind of person, I think we should be the kind of person who can call something out, call it like it is, not make excuses for it, but not hate either, not demonize one another, which can be a problem. So there's flaws on both sides personally with both of them. There are flaws with the parties. I'm saying this as an unaffiliated person, right? I can just point these out. And you've heard me talk about criticism. I do messages on criticism. So I understand that I am at this moment identifying some flaws in people and parties. I don't do this often, but I am doing this right now. So I feel like there are, you know, in the Democratic platform, it's always been a head scratcher to me as to why they are not, since they are really for people socially, why they are not the most pro-life group on the planet. It makes no sense to me. It's the exact backwards. If you're saying you're pro-person, but you're okay with murdering children, something's really off there. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I think they've had as a Democratic Party, okay, as a party, if you look at the history, a lot of real bad deceptions along the way. It was the Democratic Party that really were from the Jim Crow laws. They were very pro-slavery. It was the Republicans, and it was, of course, Lincoln, fighting the slavery, fighting against much of this party. And then, of course, things have changed some in the Democratic Party, thankfully, from that type of thing. But there's just huge deception. Now it's some of the deceptions, I would say, have to do with the sexual immorality in the form of LGBTQ, all of those rights that tend to be, if you've got to believe this and you've got to be for this, and those are the kind of things through the Equality Act they're trying to get forced on churches, that we have to be okay with that too. And we're, you know, anyway, there are issues there that I think are just wrong, as well as I have a concern about some of the Islamic agenda that I've watched Vice President Biden talk about he wants to promote, and I think that's a danger. I think it's a danger for our nation, for our republic. And the Republican Party, as they led well in abolishing slavery, I think I really wish they would have continued to reach out in meaningful ways in communication toward the African-American community, particularly in the early 1900s, which is why most African-Americans are now Democrat, because of FDR, and he was able to communicate and to reach out to a group of people that the Republicans were not, and that all of a sudden you see almost all African Americans were Republican prior to the 30s, and all that started to switch as because of FDR. And I think the Republicans have missed some of the communication there, though I think the policies have been mostly good related to that. They missed a good amount of the communication toward the Black community in that, in a larger way. And I think for the Republican Party, I would love for them to have a more care for the earth, I think, which is a biblical thing I just mentioned, as well as encouraging personal charity over greed. I think that would also be really helpful. I think there's some flaws in the party with that that could really be improved. So there's going to be flaws in either. And then neither of them are talking about the national debt, which I already mentioned. So let me just now continue. Well, I've already been talking about personal views. I'm going to continue with some personal views. For me personally, related to my journey with the Lord, related to where we are. I remember when President Trump was running as a candidate, and I was very much against him. I just want to say that. He had a strip club. He's bragging about his extramarital affairs. And just from a moral standpoint, I just thought, this is the wrong guy to be leading people. And then this journey that I feel like the Lord reminded me of had to do with the prophet Daniel, who's, as I mentioned before, one of my heroes. And I'll let you know this too. Part of when I was in the agency, when they gave me my pseudonym, it was Dan. And so it was a huge encouragement to me along the way related to that. And when you look at Daniel, you see that he is taken from another nation, or from his nation, brought to another nation, forced to learn another language. His family may have been killed. Everything, huge upheaval. Nebuchadnezzar is the king. And it says in Jeremiah 37:6, I'm going to read this scripture. This is Jeremiah, 27:6. It says, "Now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant." This is the Lord speaking. "And I have given him also the wild animals of the field to serve him." The Lord calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. Is that a weird scripture or what? He's the one who went into Israel and devastated it, took the royals, Daniel was one of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three other guys, brought them as well as many other people 600 miles to Babylon. And Jeremiah says, or the Lord says to Jeremiah, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant. He's doing things that I need him to do. Now you talk about a wacky personality, volatile, extremely volatile. You don't know what he's going to do from one day to the next, what he's going to say. One day, God is great. Everybody serve Daniel's God, the King of Heaven. The next day, if you don't bow, I'm throwing you in a fire. I'm going to burn you. In fact, I'm going to make it 7 times hotter. So your flesh is going to melt. I mean, that's this guy. Extremely volatile. You don't know what he's going to do next. And the Lord says he's my servant. Amazing to me. Daniel honors him. He does nothing but honor him. He doesn't speak evil of him. He doesn't criticize him. He's honoring him and he's serving him so well. And I realized through some of that, and I felt as though, well, let me say this first. At the end of Nebuchadnezzar's life, God dealt with his pride and his narcissism. God did. Daniel didn't deal with it. God dealt with that. And Nebuchadnezzar himself, here's a quote from Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4:34. This was after he ate grass for a few years. "I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. And he is able to humble those who walk in pride." That's Nebuchadnezzar's words as he acknowledges and has some sort of relationship with the Lord at this point in his life. God is able to do that. And I felt when President Trump began to run for office that I felt that he was a Nebuchadnezzar of sorts. with all of the things that he has, the volatility, you don't know what he's going to say, do, but God was going to use him for some things to help our nation. And I really believe he has. Beyond the personality, and he would not have been the one I would choose. If it were me in charge, I would not have chosen President Trump. I would not have chosen Nebuchadnezzar. I also wouldn't have chosen Winston Churchill. He was a heavy drinker. He was a heavy smoker. He had sharp or huge mood swings. He was a gambler. He did not come across really well. He wasn't presidential necessarily. Yet, he had a clarity of mind. God put something in his heart, and he basically was one of the pillars, if not the main figure, that helped keep the Nazis from taking over all of Europe and then the world, right? Winston Churchill. God seems to use people that I would not choose. Here's what I've recognized. Have you ever recognized that? God will use, here's what I do read in the Bible. I named my first son after this king, King Josiah, king at 8 years old. The most righteous king Israel ever had is Josiah. And then God chooses to use a king, Nebo, from Egypt to give the word of the Lord to Josiah, and he was an evil king. Is that weird or what? He gives the word of the Lord, and Josiah doesn't listen to him, and it costs him his life. What? I read that and scratch my head and realize God does things differently than I will do. He will use people that I would not use to do things he wants to do. And I think for me, President Trump is in that category. King David's another one. If King David's standing here, and you know he's going to commit adultery and then murder the husband of the woman that he committed adultery with, would you want him as your leader? He's a murderer and he's an adulterer. You would say no. I would say no. Right off. Throw him away. Find someone else. God uses King David. Not only does he use him, if you look the whole of his life, he's a man after God's own heart. And God says that forever I'm going to keep someone from his lineage on the throne. In fact, Jesus will be one of those. It'll be born in his lineage. What? This is a murderer. Yes, he was. God does things that I wouldn't do. He uses people that I wouldn't use. Thankfully, I'm not God. Because he's got all this figured out. And he will use the oddest people. Some of the oddest people are the ones who have given me the words of the Lord in my days of my life. I could tell you one story, but I won't go into that. But I mean, he was an odd creature. Absolutely odd. You would look at him and absolutely discount him just by the way he appeared. And goodness sakes, did he carry the presence of the Lord, and was God using him? We cannot go by a lot of these personality, outward things and judge whether that's God or not. We will miss it a lot. I nearly missed one of my main mentors in my life because of that very thing, actually. I didn't like the way he spoke. I didn't like the way he conducted himself. I didn't like it. I didn't like him. And then God put me in a situation with him, and man, did he have the wisdom of the Lord for me. Life-changing. I judged him, and I ended up repenting along the way. It's difficult for me as a person to find any redeeming or righteous virtues in the platform of the Democratic Party at this moment. It's changed a lot from what it was many years ago. And I can't in good conscience, from a Christian person, I really hold this really highly, I'm having trouble finding, and I've read through it. I've poured a lot of time on the Democratic website, looking through all their platforms, and I'm having trouble finding something that's redeeming or that would be scriptural. Yes, I think a President Biden would have a more pleasant personality. I think he'd be nicer. But the things that he believes and supports, I think, would be the exact opposite of what the kingdom promotes. Thank you for not yelling at me yet. In my observation of Trump over these last 4 years, I told you I didn't want him as the nominee for the Republican Party, even though I was not a Republican. since he's been there, he's actually surprised me in good and bad ways. And some of the good ways are, I mean, what I had been hoping for related to prison reform, criminal justice reform, the First Step program, did all three of those things in the last 4 years. Incredible. Getting people out of prison and jail that needed to be out and so they never should have been there to begin with. Some of that, the human trafficking, which is a huge part of life, that modern day slavery, there are more slaves today than there ever have been in history. We have over 30 million slaves right now in the world. In our nation, way too many, and it's mostly women, girls. They're trafficked, and thankfully, I mean, President Trump, along with actually both sides in Congress, they've passed five different acts here. Trafficking Victims Protection Act, Online Sex Trafficking Act, shut down websites that have been going and going and going, all this garbage to get people enslaved. The Frederick Douglass Trafficking Victims Prevention and Protection Reauthorization, Abolishing Human Trafficking Act. I'm so thankful for those. And then related to abortion, which to me is a large issue. It's not the only issue. It's a large issue. President Trump stopped $9 billion in funding to Mexico and the funding of abortions internationally. $9 billion that our government was giving away to fund abortions internationally. To stop that is, to me, huge. That's a lot of lives saved. That's a lot of lives saved. And I don't know that you can put a value on that. You can't. So apart from personality, which, man, we got serious issues. When it comes to policies, to me, it's a no-brainer. I don't see anything that would be completely unbiblical. There are areas for improvement on the Republican platform at this moment. And again, I'm unaffiliated. I'm looking at both sides. So for us, I'm going to end. We have one savior, and it's neither Trump or Biden, right? Doesn't matter who gets in office, neither one of them are a savior. We've got one, his name's Jesus, that will never change. He is the king, and he's the only one we need to be devoted to. It is him, not to a person in any political party. But I would also ask you to vote. And I would ask you to ask the Holy Spirit. Look through policies, look through platforms. If you haven't voted already, we've had a lot of people vote already. And get with the Lord, because there is a powerful act in being able to vote. Some people, I think the numbers are huge in the millions of Christians who didn't vote, who don't vote, because they go, it doesn't really count, or I can't really endorse the personalities of either candidate. There's all these reasons to abstain, and then that means it counts for absolutely nothing. Don't do that. Count one way or the other. Use it for whatever the Lord leads you to do. And guess what? Whatever you do, and if you disagree with me and you vote for the other candidate, here's what that means. I'm going to love you anyway, and I'm going to have to pray harder. Not for you, but for what happens. I'm going to have to pray harder. We're all going to have to pray even more. So whoever's in there, we're going to pray for them. And so this is our action, vote. And it's also to pray, to support, to love, to ask God for help, whoever is in charge, whoever leads. And for Congress, as well as Supreme Court nominations. We need to be praying for them. That's our duty. That's it's a privilege to be praying for them and ask God for dreams. Ask him for words, ask in whoever is this president, whether it's a new one or it's a renewed one, Lord, we just want to ask God to help him lead, and to do something. There have been prophecies. One of the prophecies that I heard back from Kim Clement, I think it's 2007 or 8, he prophesied Trump being in office. This was like 12 years before, and he also said he'd win a second term and that he would have an encounter with God in a second term. May that take place. I don't know if that's an accurate prophecy. It's halfway accurate so far. But if it's accurate and he actually does win a second term, may he have an encounter with God. He needs one. He really does. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for our nation. I believe God has purpose for a nation that the enemy wants to snuff out. As a mission-sending free people, the enemy is, clearly he is our enemy, and he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy this nation. He hates freedom, liberty. He hates people who acknowledge God. I mean, to have in God we trust on our money all these years, it just got to be crazy to the enemy. I mean, let's just hate that. Hate that we have in our Constitution that all people are created equal, or Declaration of Independence. Hates those kind of things because he's the opposite of that. So whoever wins, here's the other thing I'd like to ask you to do. Don't freak out. That last election, you remember, people melted down when their candidate did not get nominated. And it was so weird to me. What it did was it showed that they are built on something that's not solid. You and I have to be built on the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of who is nominated and elected. No freaking out. For me, if Biden wins this election, here's what I'm going to do. Okay, I got to double my prayer time. And I'm going to love that guy, and I'm going to ask God to help him. I'm going to ask God to help him. I'm going to ask for help for our nation. If President Trump re-wins, I'm going to do the same thing. Lord, help him. Need you. Okay, I've shared way too long, and it's time to go. Thank you for not throwing anything. Thank you for your love. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Let's pray. Please vote. And let's just close this. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for all you have done in dying for us and giving us your life. Thank you, Lord, that we get to love each other. Lord, thank you for the love you put in our hearts for every person. Lord, I'm asking for help for our nation. And we collectively, as this is just a real issue right now in the world, we collectively ask you, Jesus, for your help. For our country, that it we know that it's not heaven. We know that it's not the New Jerusalem. But Lord, you have given us this land and you've given us this place right now. And I'm asking you to sustain it and to help it and bring revival to hearts and lives. And may our nation give you glory once again. May it shine and may it be a safe place for your kingdom to go throughout the earth. And Lord, we ask for your help in every single way, in our own personal lives, as well as our future. We bless you, lift you up in the highest place and say, thank you, God. And thank you, Jesus, that you are coming back and that you will take care of stuff that we can't take care of. And no one can, and no government can. We love and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, have a great day.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.